Hello. Now let's go back to cyclotrons. And now that we have become familiar with transverse phase space, let's look at how the beam behaves in transverse phase space when it is accelerated. First, concept of equilibrium orbit. If we have constant energy, so we are not accelerating, then equilibrium orbit is of course a periodic solution. But there is acceleration because it's an accelerator, and the trajectory doesn't close, but it's a spiral. It's like a beam line in a spiral, and the solution depends on initial values. But we can still use the static phase space, so-called static phase space, which means that we are looking at the beam behavior in a cyclotron at constant energy. It's a good starting point to study focusing properties, and also quite easy. Now the phase is that the coordinates are radius, and it could be r and r prime, or r and pr. So the momentum, radial momentum, and so this is these are the coordinates where the particles are, and then if the then are outside the equilibrium orbit, then the difference in radial direction is x, and the difference in radial momentum is px. here I have plotted the beam behavior in our K130 cyclotron at different radii. Now it doesn't matter what the beam is and what the energy is, and let's start from here. So so this is the radius in this direction, and this is the radial momentum. And remember we have spiral sectors, so at some some points the at some angles the particles are coming a bit inwards. Like especially when we are coming from the hill to the valley region. And now here I have constant energy, and this center point here is obviously the equilibrium orbit. Then I displaced the beam a bit, and now I'm looking here, this beam behavior at a fixed angle. So it travels turn after turn and comes back to the same position. And now the beam is going around here, turn after turn, in this small circle here. And next, I will increase the deviation from the equilibrium orbit and count the same amount of turns. And now it starts to look a bit triangular, and it cannot make the whole turn. So the frequency here is less, the bit turn frequency is less. So now here u r is obviously a little more than one point or something, and it could be 3 or 4 or 5 point something, but we cannot see it from here how many turns it makes around until it comes to the same angle. We can just see the fractional part, but we know here that nu r is close to one. It's a bit over one because it's an isochronous field. And here again, at a bit larger amplitude, we go around, and it even slower. But now something interesting happens. If I make a small step outwards, then the particles go like this. And here as well. And here as well. And at larger radii, same thing happens. So we can see here that there are strong higher order components in the focusing. If you have only linear focusing, then no matter how big the amplitude is, then the shape of this eigen ellipse would be the same. But now, initially a closed on ellipse, it becomes a triangular here. So there, which means that there are sextuple components, and also now we have three sectors. So these here, they are also circles here, and then the beam has shifted, so that the center of this spiraling is not anymore at the center of the cyclone, but it is lying on a sector. Okay, this is how it looks like. now this tells us one important lesson, that the beam, no matter how it comes here and is being accelerated, it should come to this stable area. When we are injecting the beam, then we must inject it into this stable area. So last nonlinear components in the focusing. But how does a particle behave in XPX space when it is accelerated? We can assume that the acceleration takes place in highly localized gaps. And there, in the gap, we have force only to the azimuthal direction. So no radial force, which means that the radial momentum PR doesn't change, and also the particle doesn't shift radially in the gap. Only its energy increases, which means that its radius of equilibrium orbit increases. And this momentum, radial momentum of the equilibrium orbit is about the same. It doesn't really change in the gap, which is highly localized. And this means that in XPX phase here, so this becomes larger, and this doesn't change, so this goes to negative direction, like here. It's a simplified picture of a classical cyclotron with two caps, and this is now assuming nu r equal to 1, which is in practice is not possible. So here we have the equilibrium orbits, and now in the in the gap, the particle shifts in XPX phase here, and it goes around half a turn, and then around half a turn. So it goes like this. So this could be, we could say that this is the accelerated equilibrium orbit, but this is very simplified picture. But you can see that that here we should start from here, not here. If you start from here, so somewhere between the equilibrium orbits, then the beam behaves like this. Now let's look at it in more detail. Let's have two gaps per turn, and a nu r a bit more than one. And we start from x x prime or x b x, however you like, at origin here, and we come to the first gap, accreting gap. The particle's position doesn't change, and its radial momentum doesn't change, and x prime doesn't change. So it jumps to the left because the equilibrium orbit goes to the right, to high radius. So it, before the gap, it was here at the origin, and after the gap, it's now here on the left. And it travels 180 degrees to the next gap, but since nu r is a bit more than one, it goes around in the phase space a little more than 180 degrees. And then it comes to the next gap, and there we have this shift here to the left. And this is a little less than this here if the relative phase is the same. So now we have come one turn around. And if you're looking at that, just at that fixed angle, then we could see just this movement here. So here we are following the particle around the cycle zone. And then again here, a bit more than 180 degrees in phase space, and then again shift to the left, a bit more than 180 degrees and shift to the left, and so forth. So this is in one gap, and then this is on the other side. And and if we just look at this at fixed angle, then we can see this kind of behavior. And the same result we would get even with more gaps here, more than two gaps. So after one revolution, the displacement decreases because the energy is proportional to momentum, so square root of energy. Then we are non-relativistic. Well, this is only in ideal case. In practice, nu r is this function of radius, and near extraction, it goes through resonance, because there the magnetic field must start to go down. So it goes through a zero field index there. And then the revolution direction in XPX seemingly changes. So we are just looking at this nu r minus the integer value. So it's around, nu r is around one, but we can see only the fractional part. Okay, now here, tracking in a real field, magnetic field. I've studied the particle here in XX space at a fixed angle here. And at the origin of XPX. And I'm looking at it at a fixed angle. And then these small dots here that you might see, they are the dots after each turn. So turn after turn, the particles start to go around here. And then apparently at this point, because at this point, we are going to over the nu r equal to one resonance. And then after that it, nu r is smaller than one. And we can see effectively it going this way here, and the amplitude increases. What if we start from here at this point, so around the center of this oscillation? Let's do it. Now the scale is a bit different. And this is starting point. So this point here. And then again, we have the same behavior. It goes around here and then out. Okay, let's move the starting point here, which seems to be the center of gravity of this area here. We do it. Now something interesting happens. It goes around here, jumps to the right, goes around here, and then out. I will during the next slide, I will explain why this happens. But now, let's try to put the particle here in the center of this part of the ellipse. So here, and see what happens there. This is the previous one, and now we have here another one. It stays around here many turns, and then at bigger steps it moves here, and then is here, and goes out. And now the reason for this behavior is that we are looking at this XPX phase space at a fixed angle, and the particles are going outwards. And remember, the sectors are spiraled, and so when we are going outwards, the focusing condition changes. So we come from, for example, at the exit of hill here, and then when we go further out, then we are going to the entrance of the next hill, or vice versa. So here we have different kind of focusing property here than when we go out, and then the next focusing condition is here, sort of. So it makes this a bit complicated, because the focusing doesn't follow this geometry where we are at a fixed angle. And the reason is that the sectors are spiraled. And one more here, because it stays here, and go out. Now, use again Henry Blosser's lectures. So they are Henry Blosser was sort of the father of superconducting cyclotrons at MSU, and we have also got much help from MSU. No, not only the lectures. So here, what I have here is the charge, the current density of the beam when we are going outwards. So we put from the outside a bar here, and in the end of this bar or rod, whatever, there's a narrow part which measures the beam current there. And you can see separate turns here. It's a bit wobbling. This here comes from the fact that the eigen ellipses are rotating at the frequency of nu r. But the center here in nu r pr phase space is rather straight line, or behaves smoothly. And here it's oscillating a bit. And you can see that here at this area and here the distance between turns is bigger than at these places. And then if you think of the spiraling effect, then you can understand that it's sort of bobbing around and it's not centered. This is a sign of non-centered beam. that was slightly off center, and now this is more off center. So in R peer phase, the center goes like this, and this so-called differential probe measurement shows this kind of behavior. And when it's even more off center, then you see that there's a sudden drop here, which means that the particles in the RPR phase, they make a loop here. And we don't measure these particles here. And why not? Well, we have this measuring device coming from outside. And when we are here, we're stopping the beam. And if we would measure these particles here, then we shouldn't stop these particles, but we are stopping them because of we have this arm coming in. So from this point, we cannot see these, and only when the beam is here, then we start seeing these, and then we have this long steps radially. This is measured from our old cyclotron MC20, which doesn't exist anymore, except it's magnet, as a switching magnet. And this upper line is the integral probe, so it measures all the beam, not just a radially narrow part of the beam. And then this is the differential probe, and you can see this behavior, so it's badly off-centered, and here you can see really clearly the drop here. So it's really in RPR phase doing loops. So here we have something like 30 turns, and this is a precession period. A number of turns here is 1 over nu r minus 1, or its absolute value. So nu r is about 1.03 at this point, and here roughly the same. So this is one way of seeing the nu r value, or the average value here, of course. But this kind of behavior is something that we don't want. Now, in superconducting cyclotrons, the accretion gaps follow the sector. So these are in the valleys. but in normal conducting cyclotrons, usually the resonators come radially in, and then they must be between between the hills, and they can be straight. And then we have this this thing that the focusing and acceleration, they don't follow the same geometry, which gives some peculiar behavior.